야야 됐단 거 있지. 야 따야면
So Rinpoche wishes, there we go. Rinpoche wishes everyone good afternoon. And along with that, he makes the aspiration prayer that the wisdom that you will develop a bodhicitta, both the relative bodhicitta and the absolute bodhicitta, and that the wisdom that develops from listening, reflecting, and meditating on the teaching will flourish.
你那得嘞，初三，初三节中间是吧？初三节中间得嘞，这样做的，得恁家那个我就。
And he's very happy to be meeting with you here in Tucson. In the beginning, I will chant a praise of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Before listening to the teachings, please give rise to the motivation of bodhicitta, the awakening mind, and that is that for the benefit of sentient beings, as vast in number as the sky is limitless, that one will practice listening, reflecting, and meditating on the teaching in order to attain the perfect level of Buddhahood.
Tene talam po kanjin yonga trupto pomo sanje majapa je peba teda tamje je nani chod churpa trupto tamje je nani chod churpa nanjur je wamso malare bare trupto ma tamje je nani chod churpa Maji labje dema ni jinani, talam trutuk tamje jinjo, nanjur jawanso malare sungur, dene trandun dangidunya nambrinje sungur je dodukia.
From among all the highly realized siddhas, male and female siddhas, among the male siddhas, the highest and most realized was Milarepa. And from among all the female siddhas, the most highly realized was Machik Labdrin. So from among these, we will be looking at songs of Milarepa these next days. And this afternoon, we will be looking at a song of Milarepa's that distinguishes between the provisional and the definitive meaning. Milarepa sang many, many songs. His spiritual biography is full of songs, and then we also have the collection of 100,000 songs. So there are many, many songs. And from among all of those, the one that is most important to begin with is the song we'll be looking at this afternoon that distinguishes between what is the provisional and the ultimate meaning. And within this song, there are three levels or three perspectives of looking at something. One is when we have no realization at all. One is when we have attained a certain level of realization. And the last is the ultimate level of realization. So it's three perspectives or three ways of looking at a phenomena.
Dajur marpa lotala tepa ni evre ti tepa ni te ko lavore ndi ke kira ko we samado nema lo yagre ni indi ke la yang cha ti lo
dema konso shuna ti gire. So this song that we're looking at is in the books that you've received. It's the first, naturally the first one. So it's on page one. And as is traditional in Tibetan Dharma songs, the first verses, they always begin with a praise of the teacher usually. So here we have the praise of the teacher Maitripa, the master Maitripa, in the first verse. And the second is a praise for Marpa, who was Milarepa's teacher. Maitripa was the teacher of Marpa, and Marpa was the teacher of Milarepa. So these two verses are quite easy to understand. There's no real need to explain them. So we will skip over them. You can read them later. And we'll begin with the third verse.
Tambon, Jarva Shankhan Zamling Dil Sanje Nyebata Drahin Manotembe Jamsin Che Chupin Tsok Novatar Kunje Korkin Chupinne Nyebe Padin Drahin Che So no kundu chapati ji ngada meta mala sam ki sava sundar dandi meta palata mare saji loja.
So that was just a reading transmission for this first verse. So Rinpoche decided to give a reading transmission for that. And the first verse just says, in Jambudvipa, the realm of the victorious ones, there is one renowned as the second Buddha. He is like the crown jewel on the victory banner of the teachings that do not decline. Respected by all, the place of offering. The melodious sound of the flag of his fame pervades all directions completely. Is this not the master, Maitripa?
Tene Rajur Jijapo Marba Lota Latobane, Tene Hyabje Pemula, Koparti Hin Chuntome, Tavianse Sajachi.
And the next verse is a praise for his own teacher, Marpa. There is one who respectfully attended upon his lotus feet and who, through drinking the pure essence, realized Mahamudra, the very pinnacle of the view, the intrinsic meaning free from extremes. He perfected all virtues and is not veiled by faults. An emanation of the Sugatas in human form, the Supreme Being Marpa taught this.
Dekapso tani metap jarse metapada te dajo jijapo marpa lo sala to pa gupi junsin karasana te junsin te same je ne lok saja chembo to pa la tani rang hira ta chun de chipla ra male pa lam sinab la ra le pa hibe che do tu gu pa hibe che do tani ngwa la tani to pa je pa.
So this was a praise of the Bodhisattva Maitreya and of the great translator Marpa. And what is the purpose of the praise? Why do we need praises? In order to realize Mahamudra, the true nature of the mind, we do need our own diligence, our own prajna, our own native intelligence. But that alone is not sufficient. We also need the blessings of our Lama. So the realization of Mahamudra also depends on the Lama's blessings. And therefore, in the beginning, we bring the Lamas to mind.
Se nāwa chetar nāngla chāng mātō tūna chūnāng te yorji khenpēn chāngvarasi tōpa nāngla jōmār nā yonāng semche trōsu chā thā tōk tōngla nāng mānyo chēmī chokō tāko sōng khisāpa sōng.
So there are four things that we will be looking at from these different perspectives. And the first is external appearances. And the verse says, external appearances, however they appear, when there is no realization, are delusory appearances. Clinging to objects causes bondage. With realization, everything appears as an illusion. Appearing objects arise as an aid for the mind. Ultimately, appearances never exist. They are pure within the unborn Dharmakaya, he said.
Dekapso se zoma yorjan nama te deni mege yorda zo, nava yorda dra, nai yorda tre, chi yorda ro, luji yorda rizate, zugda teru rizan nada, tela yang, zambo, neba, parmala sopa, deni nama naso chi yabare. Tha zhukta taro rikza la sopa nava na so te la teni trangi jepa de karasana mato pakkapsa khande nangare semche ne lok saja chempo to pakkapsa zhunga yorja nava de khande ji nangare to pa ta mato pa la mato pe ne lok ngoma de karare te som se te sombare.
External appearances refer to the various objects of our sense faculties. So that would be form for the visual sense faculty, sound for the audio sense faculty, smell for olfactory sense faculty, taste for the tongue, and tangible objects for our body or our skin. And these are the main objects that appear, the main external appearances. And then in relation to these, we have various concepts. We think they're good, or we think they're bad, or we're indifferent, and so forth. So there are various ways that we can react or interact with these outer objects. And so how we see or relate to these external objects has to do with whether we have realized the nature of the mind not at all, or if we have realized the nature of the mind, Mahamudra. And then the third one, or the final one, is whether we does not depend on the concept of having realized or not realized. It transcends realization and non-realization.
Malamje Tuso Zugda Tiro Riza Natsoba Nam Malang Woma Hippocapso Namanam Demba Tarta Nanghin Namdokia Namahin the Dembarahin Namdok Dembarahin Balatin de Tini ye don't want Latin be Hinja, Hinja Latin Beduma Ye don't want Balatin Betini Sem Megawata Kondo Lasoba Allah so badonga. Parma la mongbate, Parma nelo la mongbate, Tene chakpa damba, mongba sonda, Tele tempe donga, tankanga, madawa, not so bache, malam de yungayore. Tenda wateta, malangoma hippe capse nansur tai, te malangoma hippe nekabre. Malangom hippe nekabso, Tene danda serge. Now, a condition none a young Malay person and Nanzare Mato, Denver Mabar Hippetovje, Denver Hemba Yomare, Denver Hemba Mabar Latin, Dungan Pigamare, Nanzam Jere. The Malang no hippocabs of Denver Nan, no Mahi, no hip Mahippocabs of Denver Nan, no hippocabs of Tene Nanzam Yina Young, Nelu Lacaresena. Nelogla, Melanja Nava, Zambo, Namba, Parma, Kandija Nanayan, then a Ranga Mo Madopa. Mo Madopa Tayang, Tonjang San Mayimba, Tatok, then a Madopa Tayang, Madopa Sen, and Nelog Truba the Traveler. Tate P, Melanja P, Tengi, Matopa, Topa, Tatok Summer.
So we have these external appearing objects, and the way they appear is in a dualistic manner. There is a subject and an object, but their true nature is the same, is one. So why is it that we have them appearing as two, though their nature is one? And we can understand that through the example of the dream. The dream is the best example for understanding these. So if any of these five objects were to appear within a dream, forms or sounds or smells or tastes or tactile objects, and we don't recognize that we're dreaming, then within that dream we would think that all of these objects are truly existent. They would appear to us as if they were real. And not only that, we would have a conceptualizing mind that would grasp onto them as actually being that way. So we sort of, they appear to us as if they're real, and then we grasp onto that and sort of perpetuate that through our conceptualizing mind. And once we've grasped onto them as real, then we start judging them, and we think, oh, this one's really pleasant, and so we develop desire or attachment. And then we think, oh, well, that's real, but I don't like it. And so we develop aversion or hatred for something. And then there are those that appear in between, and we're sort of indifferent to it, and that's we're sort of ignorant of them. And so through these kinds of reactions, we develop various problems and suffering for ourselves, not recognizing that we're dreaming while we're dreaming. So that's this first level that we spoke of before, is when we do not recognize without any kind of recognition. The second level is when we recognize that we're dreaming while we're dreaming. And so we see these external appearances to be like dream images. We see them as dream images. And therefore we don't cling to them as being truly existent, as being something solid and real. And therefore our suffering doesn't grow. doesn't expand. At the third level, when we have our ultimate way of understanding, first, just to review, first we didn't recognize we were dreaming and things appeared as real. Then we knew we were dreaming and saw things as mere appearances. And when we come to this third level, it's the perspective of the nature of the mind itself. And for the nature of the mind itself, whether something appears as good or as bad, however that appears, it sees that as not being ultimately truly existent. It sees that, but that's not all that it sees. It doesn't stop with just seeing a mere voidness or a vacuity. It sees also that realization that it's non-existent is also non-existent or is also empty in itself. So one doesn't get caught in thinking that non-existence exists. So that then is like the ultimate perspective. And just like this example that we looked at that was in the context of the dream, one can translate that same kind of understanding into everyday appearances. The appearances of these different perceived objects, such as form, sound, smell, taste, and touch. In the situation or the circumstance where we have not realized the true nature of the mind, or what you could say, we have not realized emptiness or Mahamudra, at that point then, these outer objects for us in a what we call a normal daytime, everyday context appear as if truly existent. And not only that, our conceptualizing mind grasps onto them as being such. And on the basis of that, then, we have various experiences or various feelings and sensations that come based on these objects that we cling to as truly existent. So in this way, we create for ourselves various kinds of suffering and various kinds of problems. And that's an explanation of the first three lines of this verse where it says, external appearances, however they appear, when there is no realization, are delusory appearances, clinging to objects causes bondage. So the clinging to objects causes bondage, and if we reflect on what we've just been looking at, it's on the basis of clinging to these objects as being truly existent that we are bound. And it's our own concepts that cling to objects as being truly existent. So, in effect, we are binding ourselves. We are binding ourselves with our own concepts. The next two lines say, with realization, everything appears as an illusion. Appearing objects arise as an aid for the mind. So this is the second situation where we have realization. We have directly realized ultimate truth or the true nature of the mind or Mahamudra. They're all synonyms. And what happens then to our perception of these external objects, the various forms or sounds or smells or touch, tangible objects or tastes that arise for us? Well, they arise as illusions. And that's another way of saying that their way of appearing is as appearance and emptiness inseparable. So this object then is appearance and emptiness inseparable. And on the basis of that, since we don't cling to an object as being truly existent, but since we see it as merely appearance and emptiness inseparable, then we don't develop any suffering or problems on the basis of outer objects. We see them as being dreamlike. If one dreams that one is burnt by fire or carried away by floodwaters, walking across an arroyo at the wrong time and so forth, or if one dreams that one is thrown from a cliff or falls down over a precipice, and one recognizes that one is dreaming, then one knows that the fire, for example, that would burn one is simply a dream appearance. It's a dreamlike appearance, that the body that is burnt is also a dreamlike appearance. So through looking at this dream example, we can see that when we recognize that we're dreaming while we're dreaming, that gives a great spaciousness to our experience. We don't grasp on them tightly and constrictedly as if they're truly existent. And we see them as they are, as dream appearances, and that gives an openness and a spaciousness to our situation. And that happens because we've realized the nature of the mind, and therefore we don't cling to these appearances as solid, real, truly existent.
Mala ngo hipa hipa hirap de sar jamwe. Trosan dobre. Trosan doba te yendo. Semje nelo saja chembo to na. Tene nawa. Nawa de nadong yemi samre. Nadong yemi je nawa de. Semje nelo ke topa gongin gongdom perwe. Trosan dobre.
The next line says, appearing objects arise as an aid for the mind. So when one recognizes that one is dreaming, the fire, the flooding waters, or the precipice, the cliff, become an aid or a help in training our mind to come to realize the its own true nature. Or you could say it's training the mind in the practice of the true nature. When one realizes Mahamudra, or the true nature of the mind, all appearances arise as simply appearance and emptiness inseparable. And as they do this, they become an aid or a help to us in coming to realize more profoundly and more extensively the true nature of the mind.
Tartok tona na manyung kimi chukar tako song song par tan di kap so ne long tartok ten pare na ma to pa kap tan to pa kap so te ta ba yin na tartok ka kap so kar ra sa na ta ne long tartok am ne chor tartok pa wang de se na te ni nang manyung se je te tambo ne na wa ma do pare tambo ne na wa ma do pa de kar ra sa na je wa ma pa kimi chukar tako song se Tangbo jewa meba, tangbo jewa mebe, uneba meba, uneba mebe, tanga kwa meba, jenga truba dan travare, jenga truba da trava tela, tene tikpa jembe lolo chuka segre. Ne look, chutam jeje, ne look, jenga, jewa ngakwa so truben ta tam jeta trava la, chuka se yabare. This is a jemi chuka tago song. Song se jete, The name Marpa Lotake, Malare Parana Sombare.
So, if the first two situations, when we don't realize the nature of things and when we realize the nature of things, if they're like what we just looked at, then how are things ultimately in their true way of being? How are they? And it says, ultimately, appearances never exist. And that means that from the beginning, from the very first, they never arose. And since they never arose, that means they never abided and they never ceased either. You need the beginning of the process there to have the rest of it. And this description of being unborn is what is usually is the way we usually define the Dharmakaya, the truth body or the Dharma body. It is described as unborn. And so the last line says, they are pure within the unborn Dharmakaya. So they refers to the appearances, so or all phenomena. And the true nature of all phenomena is free of arising, abiding, and ceasing. The true nature is the Dharmakaya. And the he that's spoken of in the last line is Marpa, Milarepa's teacher, who gave him these instructions.
Dina. The name Korba Dunga, Madrava Natsopa, Nyevala, Sadanga Dunga, Yeda, Letrikunja Dunga, Tondula, the name Korjuja Dunga, La Soba, Korba Simjina, Dunga, Madrava Natsopa, Yabar, Sumbare, the Korba Dunga, Madrava Natsopa, Yabate, Seru Yurjina, Rale, Pet Dunga, Madrava, Na chokpa songpa de, ma tope ne kap tang tuen de songpa re. Koba la donga na chokpa yopa, donga te denpa tropa nrapo songpa re. Te ma tope ne kap re. Ma tope ne kap tang tuen de songpa re.
The teachings often speak of the various sufferings of samsara. One can take rebirth in a hell realm, for example, where there's a suffering of hot and cold, or the hungry ghost realm, where there is the suffering of hunger and thirst, or the animal realm, where there's a suffering of not knowing what to do, or of ignorance, and so forth. This kind of suffering that depends upon external objects is the kind of suffering that was taught in accordance with our tendencies to take things to be truly existent. So that kind of teaching then corresponds to the first situation within the three levels we've been looking at here. It's the level when one hasn't realized the nature of the mind.
Mulam tavo, choda tavo, jason tavo la sobe, tene, tanda nando, nito ke pe mambo sombare te, tope neck up than twin de sombare. Tope neck up so juma mulam choda tavare mato, mato pe neck up so denber hindigre, juma mulam choda tavo hako to way mare. Tona tene sarpo yungre, marve.
And then? There are the teachings that external phenomena are like an illusion, like a dream, like the moon's reflection in water, like a rainbow. All these various examples for the inseparability of appearance and emptiness. This kind of teaching applies to the second level we looked at, the situation where there is realization. With realization, one is able to understand and sort of deeply understand these examples. If one were still at the first level without any realization and clinging to things as truly existent, then these examples would not have much meaning for us.
Chumi la soba sombare, te sombate, ne loco wang the sena sombare.
One finds in the Prajnaparamita Sutras, the Heart Sutras, various similar teachings where it said there is no form, there is no sound, no smell, there is no taste, there is no tangible objects. And with these teachings, these statements such as this are given from the perspective of the true nature of the mind or ultimate reality. So the second situation that we'll look at, now we've looked at external appearances, and now we're looking at the inner perceiving mind. And the verse says, this internal moving consciousness, when there is no realization, is ignorance. It is the basic root of karma and mental afflictions. When there is realization, it is reflexively aware wisdom. All virtuous qualities completely arise from this. Ultimately, there is no wisdom. All phenomena are brought to the state of exhaustion, he said.
Nang joba ye jinnam hiang, nang zimbe sem tela yang, tene mato pen neka, to pen neka, tato pen neka to somre.
So for this internal moving mental consciousness, or one could say the inner perceiving mind, there are again three levels of not realizing, realizing, and the ultimate.
Tanan zemba ye jenam kinde, sem je ne log saja jembo mato betuna, mato bakamna karresena, mato bakamna maripare, karresena, jumse kainyamna, sem rangang oam, sem rang ne logam, sem rang kilo kainyambate, maripare, kasel and make them road debare. This is not marik pare. Ta mato bakap so sem rangang o marik bayina tela chung kariyere sana le nyamung kunji yasa se. Marik pala tel tela tinte tene nyamung na sopa che. Tela tinte le ngayba na sopa sa. Le ngayba na sopa deva dongantang kangan na sopa mperwe. Mparwar sepa sena tene mato bakap so ta sem jene lo mato pala chung chenpo yobare.
So to look at this first level, when the time when one has not realized Mahamudra or the mind's nature, and then this internal moving mental consciousness is ignorance. And why is that? Because the inner essential nature of the mind, its true character, its true mode of being, is not this mind that is turned outward to focus on external objects. That mind that is turned outward focusing on external objects creates confusion, it creates delusion for us. And so, not realizing that, though, we're caught by these delusions. So, if we don't realize then the essential nature of mind itself, what's the problem that ensues? Well, when we take these various objects to be real through being caught in ignorance, then we begin to accumulate negative karma in relation to them, acting in this way and the next, and the result of that is the various problems and sufferings that we experience in samsara.
Tayampena tene semche nelo saje chembo mato pakapso dala mikte dala khonro chi khonro la ten be donga mandava na soba be Nila make the Nila Hinjati, Hinjala, Tembe, Donga Mandava, Nanso Bamper, the name Hinjala Soba, Donga Nanso Bamper, Mato, the name Chakpata, Dama, Semjung Ola, Taki, Taki, Tang Hio Mare, Chakpata, Dama, Semje, Mobo Gom Higamare, Mato Pacapsa. Tisena.
For example, when we haven't realized Mahamudra, the nature of the mind, if someone we consider as our enemy, we consider our enemy, appears to us, if we focus on them, then anger arises, and on the basis of that anger, a various suffering arises. If there is a friend that appears and we focus on that friend, then what happens is that attachment develops and we become, we cling to this friend. And on the basis of that clinging and that attachment, various kinds of suffering and problems arise. So this, the aversion or the hatred and the attachment and clinging bring us very various problems. And that's because we haven't learned to turn the mind inward and to meditate on the essential nature of attachment or of aversion. And because we don't know how to do this, then the various problems arise. So this next division that we're looking at are negative spirits that appear. And This then applies to the first situation when we haven't realized the nature of the mind. And so we take these spirits and negative appearances to be truly existent. And because we take them to be truly existent, then they make obstacles for us. They obstruct our work in the world. They obstruct our Dharma practice. They make obstacles to our life in many different ways. And this is because we take them to be truly existent. At the time when we have realization, what happens? When there is realization, all hindering spirits are Dharma protectors. Various cities arise from them. So when we realize the nature of the mind, then we see that they are mere concepts, and we dissolve our clinging to them as being truly existent. And at that point then, they become beneficial. They help us. Various cities arise from them. And actually, the Tibetan says, arise from you, because this was a song that was sung to the five Tseringma sisters who came to see Milarepa. And they demonstrated various miraculous appearances at the time. And Milarepa was able to tame them, and they became Dharma protectors for him. And to this day, they remain Dharma protectors within the Kagyu lineage. So, how is it ultimately then? Ultimately, there are no gods or demons. Concepts are brought to the state of exhaustion, he said. So, ultimately, these concepts of gods and demons do not exist. And they are brought to the state of exhaustion, or the Tibetan literally says they are carried into their ground. So they are carried into their ground, which of course is the ultimate nature of the mind, and in that way they dissolve. So here we have seen that male and female spirits and yakshas are merely imputed by our conceptualizing mind. And then you might think, well, if that's true of demons, then it must be true of the deities as well, that they are a mere mental imputations. And so what one needs to do at this point is to look into the nature of the mind and discover what is the ultimate deity, or the ultimate yidam deity. And that is the true nature of the mind itself. So the kind of deity we think of as being outside is a relative kind of deity. The ultimate Yidam deity is the true nature of the mind, or Mahamudra, or Mahasandhi. Or it's also known as the Buddha nature, or Tathagata Garbha.
So
that has been in a brief explanation of looking at the outer appearing objects, the inner moving mental consciousness, the skanda form, and the appearances of male and female negative spirits from these three different perspectives of a time when there's no realization, when there's realization, and from the ultimate perspective.
And
the last part of this song we'll look at this evening. So the we'll recite together the first from the beginning to this concepts are brought to a state of exhaustion, what we've looked at just this afternoon. In Jambud Vipa, the realm of the victorious ones, there is one renowned as the second Buddha. He is like the crown jewel on the victory banner of the teachings that do not decline, respected by all the place of offering. The melodious sound of the flag of his fame pervades all directions completely. Is this not the master, Maitripa? There is one who respectfully attended upon his lotus feet, and who through drinking the pure essence realized Mahamudra, the very pinnacle of the view, the intrinsic meaning free from extremes. He perfected all virtues and is not veiled by faults, and emanation of the Sugatas in human form. The Supreme Being Marpa taught like this. External appearances, however they appear, when there is no realization, are delusory appearances. Clinging to objects causes bondage. With realization, everything appears as an illusion. Appearing objects arise as an aid for the mind. Ultimately, appearances never exist. They are pure within the unborn Dharmakaya, he said. This internal moving mental consciousness, when there is no realization, is ignorance. It is the basic root of karma and mental afflictions. When there is realization, it is reflexively aware wisdom. All virtuous qualities it is completely arise from this. Ultimately, there is no wisdom. All phenomena are brought to the state of exhaustion. This skanda of form, which is brought about compulsively, when there is no realization, is a body of the four elements. Sickness and suffering arise from it. When there is realization, it is the form of the deity, which is union. This reverses ordinary clinging. Ultimately, there is no body. It is pure like the cloudless sky, he said. These appearances of male and female spirits and yakshas, when there is no realization, are maras. They cause harm and obstacles. When there is realization, all hindering spirits are dharma protectors. Various cities arise from them. Ultimately, there are no gods or demons. Concepts are brought to the state of exhaustion, he said.
자,자송.他,呃,天天宁波的这个落单的,没来的被天天当天天的这宁波刚一把送过来。And
then among the sheets that you've received, there is one called a song of meaningful connections. And so that is a song that deals with the auspicious connections or dependent arising, what it is sort of in general, and then the essence of it. And this has a melody that goes with it. So I'll just start it out and you can chime in. That your feet, O marble, from load rock I bow down. Grant your blessing that this beggar will stay in natural retreats. That you stalwart benefactors are so fondly gathered you. Makes the right connection for fulfilling the two concerns. When this body, how to get that so easily decays, gets the nourishment it needs, it will flourish and be full of health. When the pollen from the flowers growing in the solid ground and the honeydew of raindrops falling from the deep blue sky come together, their connection is of benefit to beings. But what gives this link its meaning is when Dharma is included too. When a body that's illusioned by its parents nursed to life, and the guiding instructions from a Lama who's reliable come together, their connection brings the practice of Dharma to life. But what gives this link its meaning is when persevering heart bone beats. When a cave in the rock in a valley with no human being, and someone really practicing without hypocrisy. Come together, this connection can fulfill your every need. But what gives this link its meaning is what's known as the emptiness. When a milarepta's practice of endurance in meditation, and those from the three realms who have the quality of faith come together, this connection brings about the good of beings. But what gives this link its meaning is compassion in a noble heart. When a skillful meditator meditating in the wilderness, and a skillful benefactor providing the wherewithal, come together, this connection leads to both gaining Buddhahood. But what gives this link its meaning is to dedicate the merit. When an excellent lama endowed with compassionate heart, and an excellent student with endurance in meditation, come together, this connection makes the teaching accessible. But what gives this link its meaning is the samaya it brings about. When the gift of Abhishekha with its blessing that works so fast, and the fervent trusting prayer where you're praying it will come to you. Come together, this connection gets your prayer well answered soon. But to give this link its meaning, a little bit of luck might help. Oh, Master Vajradhara, the essence of Akshobhya, you know my joys and sorrows and what this beggar's going through. And then we'll sing to close the prayer of solemn commitment. With no germ of with the Dhyan family, powerless to obstruct. May I gain final certainty, understanding my mind. On the path of skillful means, conquered by doubts, may the Son find a way to follow in his Father's footsteps. Compassion and master, the essence of our yoga. Please bless this beggar to stay mountain retreat. So this evening we'll complete the explanation of this particular song, and then there will be time for questions, so you can think about them between now and then.
For those of you who would like to would not be here tomorrow night at the end of the or the conclusion of the talks and would like to offer Rinpoche a kata, you will have an opportunity tonight to do that. And those of you who are attending all the teachings, tomorrow night there will be an opportunity for you to receive a blessing and also give a kata to Rinpoche. So those who are not going to be here tomorrow night are welcome after the teaching to present a kata to Rinpoche.